Hurry. The spiritual food. The Lord is the light of our lives. He lights up His Word. On Wednesday night, we just discussed from the attitude of, so what about your enemies? You know, it's good for us to know what about the enemy. It's good for us to know that the enemy has no one to turn to. The enemy, if someone becomes our enemy, the enemy won't even back them up. Because the enemy doesn't like those who serve him any better than he likes those who don't. He doesn't like anybody. So we need to understand, what about your enemy? And we want to be cautious that we don't focus on the enemy. That's what the enemy tries to do, get us to focus on him, what he's doing. You know, tries to get us to fear. Fear is faith in the enemy. Amen. We need to have faith in God. And so, you know, what about your enemy? You know, and it sounds, you know, if you say that to somebody that's feeling like they're really oppressed, they feel like you just don't care. You know, but we need to say, so what about it? You know, put him in his place. Give no place to the enemy. Satan said, you have nothing. You have no... Jesus said to Satan, you have no part of me. You have nothing in me. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Did Jesus do what he came to do?
Yes.
Absolutely. He did. He destroyed the works of the enemy. Well, then how come it looks like the enemy is successful? Well, because that's what it looks like. But as we read the Psalms, we see that David said, you know, I pursued my enemy. In other words, I wasn't afraid of him, I went after him. And they cried out. They cried out. They, you know, the enemy may even cry out for help from God. But God's not going to help the enemy. He's going to help you. And so, David proceeded to pursue them and stomp them into the dust. The enemy, you know, uses delusions that we might believe his lies. He puffs himself up. He uses a big screen like the Wizard of Oz to try to scare us, but he's just a little guy behind a curtain knowing that he's defeated. And so I just say to you, you know, when the enemy comes, you need to just kind of say, hey, what about the enemy? And we're just going to continue on with that, with the fact that there is no triumph for my enemies. By this I know you are well pleased with me, but this I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Say, my enemy cannot triumph over me. Okay? We need to understand that there is no triumph for the enemy. He might win a little battle here and there, but believe me, he doesn't get to do any dancing and celebrating. Amen. Because he knows that he lost. He knows that he was defeated once and for all. So that even if he can convince us that he has a victory, he can't convince Jesus. Amen. He thinks that he has a victory, and he turns around, and guess who's standing there?
Amen.
Saying, no, no, you don't win. There is no triumph for my enemy. He may get in a punch or two, but if we will practice fighting the good fight of faith, he won't really even be able to land a punch. It is possible to live in victory. If it were not, he would not have told us. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. We don't have to accept any sort of triumph that the enemy may try to declare. He's defeated. Amen. So there is no triumph for my enemies because God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? These are not just words that we say. They are not just words that we repeat, but they are life.
Amen.
and they are true, and they are the things that we must speak. There is no triumph for my enemy. And if our enemy has managed to have a time of triumph, then we need to repent for giving him a time of triumph. Because we don't want to build him up. And so we need then to realize, wait a minute, there is no triumph for the enemy. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to sit in being deceived. I'm not going to sit in deception, because I understand there is no triumph for the enemy. Micah says in verse 7, this is after he's talked about, woe is me, I'm like those that gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes, and there is no cluster to eat. This is Micah chapter 7. Now, I look at that and I say, here I am, I've got all of this that I'm gathering, but there's nothing for me to eat. Why isn't there anything to eat? Why doesn't he take something to eat? The faithful man has perished from the earth. You see, he's being deceived. He's beginning to declare those things that are not true. Well, when you declare the things that are not as though they are, they begin to come true. And Micah is saying, there's nobody righteous. Well, there's been other prophets that said, there's nobody left. And God said, there's 7,000. Right there where you are, there's 7,000. I've reserved 7,000. Don't say those things, because the truth is what we need to say. But he says, the faithful man has perished. There's no one upright. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. I mean, does this sound like our news nowadays? What they're doing is they're telling us what it's like when there is no righteous, and they're trying to keep the righteous out of things. And it's all misery, and it's all despair, and it's all fear. It's just, you know, I mean, trouble here and trouble there. That they may successfully do evil with both hands. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do, is be able to successfully do evil with both hands against you, against society, against the church. He wants to be able to just have free rein in doing his evil. And sometimes, unfortunately, we open the door and we, all of a sudden, he doesn't even have to keep a hand on us. He's got an open door to just do evil against us. Because we have forgotten the fact that there's no triumph for him. And so he gets us fearful and he gets us scrambling. And it just goes downhill. The great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. You know? When the evil begin to feel like they have some authority, now they begin to scheme together. Now they begin to join heads. And then everybody goes, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Now there's not just one evil person. There's two evil people. There's five evil people. There's 10 evil people. I've read this article once about that there's this group of very, very rich people that actually control the whole world. And they're evil. And they're controlling the banks. And they're controlling this. And they're controlling that, you know? Well, then it's time they lost control, because there's no triumph for them. He says, then the best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. I mean, the enemy will get us to not trust in anybody. If he can just get us to get, you know, nobody cares. Nobody really cares. Nobody really understands. Try to get us not to reach out. Wednesday night, we were so proud of Sue, because Sue said that she fought against gloom, misery, and despair. And she almost called me. That's desperate. Almost. But you see, that's an improvement. I'm sure that it is. Don't put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth. Keep her who lies in your bosom. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. I mean, this is about as low as he can get. This is gloom and misery and despair. This is one more step and he's out of here. But he says, therefore, I'll look to the Lord. You know, sometimes we need to listen to ourselves. I think Micah was listening to himself. He was writing down the steps that he went through, and he was listening to the steps that he went through, and all of a sudden he realized, you know what? There's an answer to all of this. Now, the quicker that we recognize the enemy, the quicker that we recognize and call upon the answer. The quicker we call upon the answer, the less deep we go. And we begin to fill it in and step up out of the pit rather than going a little deeper. Because what the enemy tries to convince us sometimes, you know, with one more shovel deeper, it's got to get better. But it doesn't. It only gets better when we come up. And so Micah says, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And then he says, my God will hear me. It's important to declare that, because we may decide, yes, I'll look to the Lord. Yes, I'll call the Lord. But if we don't say, I know the Lord will hear me, the enemy will say, you've been calling. He hasn't heard you. I'll trust in the Lord. You know, as Christians, we say that, we mean it, but we've got to receive it when somebody says it to us, because the enemy will say, yeah, you've been trusting and nothing changes. Oh, yes, it does. Amen. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. They'll never be ashamed. My God will hear me. Micah says, my God will hear me. I'll put my wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And then he decides, I'm going to put the enemy where it belongs. I'm going to say, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Well, when you have the confidence that when you fall, if you fall, you will arise, guess what? You won't fall much. Amen. Because you'll have your balance. You'll catch yourself if you stumble. You'll have practiced all the drills. When I played football, we had running back drills. Running back drills weren't just running up and down the field, because the enemy wasn't interested in just letting you run up and down the field. We did drills. We ran the gauntlet, people holding on to tackling dummies and hand pads and beating on you as you went through and trying to take your feet out from under you. And we would run one way and put a hand down and spin a circle around it so we could be able to go in full speed, go down on a hand, come back up. We did all the drills. We did all the drills and all the drills and all the drills until it was the natural thing to do, so that if you began to stumble, you would catch your balance to keep going, to get as far as you could go in the direction that you wanted to go. And if we fell, we got up. And if you got hurt, nobody knew it. As long as you could get up, you didn't let the enemy know that they had accomplished anything. The harder they hit you, the quicker you bounced up and smiled at them. Might be trying to get your breath, but you just smiled at them. Why? Because then they knew they'd given you their best shot. You were up. And you'd be back. The enemy needs to know, no matter what kind of shot he gets you, he can't hurt you. When I fall, I'll rise again. Don't triumph over me, enemy. Don't be getting your hopes up, because I know the truth. You see, he knows the truth. He learned the truth. When Jesus went into hell, led captivity captive, he learned the truth. And he was reminded of a day Thousands of years before that, when God said, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to smash your head. And he knows that anyone who Christ dwells in can do the same thing Christ does, because Christ in you is your hope of glory. And so when we know who we are in him, the devil knows that we're just one step away from crushing his head. We're just one moment, one truth away from victory. We're just that close all the time. And so he spends all of his time trying to steal and to kill and to destroy our hope, our faith, our trust in the Lord, our knowledge of the truth. He does everything that he can to keep us from seeing that we will arise. And so it doesn't matter. It isn't something that we are going to arise in the last day in the twinkling of an eye. It's that we are going to arise every minute of every day and wreak havoc on him and his territory. We were created to destroy his works. He now has only one assignment, to be destroyed. That's his future. The only reason he's still on the earth is to build our muscles. He's an exercise room for Christians. Right? He's just exercise. He's nothing. He's nothing. If I get on my exercise bicycle, it can beat me. If I keep going, it can beat me. But when I get off, it ain't nothing. And I have won. If I keep fighting with a defeated foe, he can wear me out. But if I just say, hey, don't rejoice over me, you're defeated. You're nothing. The enemy's nothing. Well, then why does it look like he accomplishes so much? Because we believe that he accomplishes so much. Because there is evil in the world. And because there are, unfortunately, a lot more people who don't believe in Jesus than do believe in Jesus. There's a lot more who don't follow Jesus. And so by their very ignorance of the truth, they end up adding strength to the enemy. But the enemy cannot triumph over anyone who knows the truth. Amen. And who will stand on the truth. And who will wait upon the Lord. And will continue to have confidence. Blessed are they who believe without seeing. Who stand believing. There is no triumph for the enemy. There's no victory for him. And the people who get deeper into the enemy's ways find out better than those who follow Jesus that there is no triumph in the enemy, and they get converted and come to the Lord. As they begin to see that there's no hope with the enemy, then those who are forgiven much love much, because they're more confident in the one who wins. Everybody likes to win. Everybody likes to win, and Jesus declares us winners. More than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And so Micah, though he crawled down in the pit quite a ways, he finally just said, well, guess what? I'll look to the Lord. Now let me tell you that when you decide to look to the Lord, you have just messed everything up for the enemy. As long as he can get you looking at him, as long as he can get you to have problems with him, then he feels comfortable. But when you say, I think I'll just look to the Lord, now he knows it's just a matter of time. Oh, he'll do everything that he can to blind you to that. And he'll throw up a mirror so you can look at you and declare what a failure you are because you haven't looked to the Lord before, and you just break that mirror. There's no bad luck in breaking that mirror. Go right past that mirror and look at the Lord. And you'll see you as He sees you, more than a conqueror, through Christ, who strengthens you. There is no triumph for the enemy. The only triumph that the enemy can have is the triumph that we give him. That's it. That's it. You know, when we got saved and all of the people who were our friends said, well, we're happy for you, but leave us alone. You know, I'll tell you that although I didn't recognize, I didn't know who it was, that I had thoughts of like, well, this isn't really a very good deal. At least I used to have friends. You know, the enemy would say, well, see now, is this really good for you? Look what's happening to you. But the thing that I noticed is that the people that I barely knew were better friends than the people that I had that were friends previously. There was some peace there. There was some joy there. There was something else there. But you can, if you listen to the enemy, a lot of people throw in the towel. They listen to the enemy and throw in the towel and just go along with what he says rather than what is true. Micah said, you know, David said one time, my own familiar friend. That wasn't just a prophecy about Jesus when one of his followers betrayed him, but David had his own sons betray him, sleep with his wives. But then that was sort of a fruit of David's lifestyle. David had a heart after God, but a brain that just didn't work sometimes. Is your heart ever right and your brain a little malfunctioning? Now, we all have little malfunctions in our brain, and we listen to the wrong voices and we do the wrong things. But hey, we can come to the place where we finally look at that and say, wait a minute, Micah just said, all of this stuff looks true, but I'm going to look to the Lord. And as soon as he looked to the Lord, he added to that and said, I'll just wait for the God of my salvation. See, sometimes we look to the Lord, we don't wait. We say something to God and keep going. When we're singing, you know, I just want to sit at your feet. I want to melt in your peace. You know, we melt in everything else, but sometimes we just don't think we have time to melt in His peace. We've got time to worry all day, but not time enough to melt in His peace.
Amen.
And the fire of God will melt your ice cream quick. You know? He said, I'll wait for the Lord, for the God of my salvation. And then he added to that. You see, he was adding to the coming up, just the same way he had added to the going down. He said, I'll look, I'll wait, he'll hear. And by the time he got the he'll hear, his confidence was up, and he said, don't you rejoice over me, my enemy. That's scary for the enemy. When you look to the Lord, when you wait for the Lord, when you say, my God will hear me, no triumph for you, my enemy. I don't want to give the enemy triumphs. I want to make him afraid to even take a swing. I want him to hate it when I wake up in the morning. I want him to hate it when I'm sleeping at night because there's so many angels around me that it's not even good to get near. And we had a testimony this morning of how God sets his angels about us. The number of motorcycles that have encounters with cement trucks and the rider lands on his feet to talk to the driver of the cement truck is a very, very, very small percentage. This may be the only one. I mean, it would have been a great testimony if he would have been run over and they raised him from the dead in the ambulance. It would have been a great testimony. No matter what, it would be a great testimony, but it's a lot nicer when he lands on his feet. and talks to the driver. Pretty hard to get any pain and suffering out of the insurance on that one. Although, you never know, somebody standing by, hearing that angels protected him, might think that he went loony. And then it's catching because his mother's repeating the story. Don't rejoice over me, my enemy. So I say to you, what about your enemies? What's their future? What's the enemy's future? Defeat. Amen? No triumph for my enemies. Say it, no triumph for my enemies. God is for me. There will be no triumph for my enemies. Because God is for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're thankful to you that there is no triumph for our enemies. We ask you, Lord, I ask your blessing. I ask, Lord, that each and every person here would just receive an impartation of confidence and assurance and awareness, that the eyes of our understanding would be so wide open that we would recognize the enemy so well, and that our first response would be, no triumph for you. You ain't so much. You're defeated. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the blessing of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This is what we do. This prayer will do this part. Dear Father,